Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message.
Halfway.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Great.
Good? Great?
Great.
Awesome. That was an incredible time of worship. Thank you, worship team, for just letting the Spirit move through you guys. And that was just something that I've been praying for. It's hard to follow that, honestly. I will say we do have a lot of babies being born. That's a shameless plug for we need more help in kids ministry. So if you'd like to serve in Branch Kids, come talk to me or Pastor Ryan or Pastor Laura after service, because there's nothing like being able to teach the next generation about Jesus. All right, had to give that shameless plug.
I should have done that, my bad.
It's okay. It's okay. All right, so who in here has ever started a new job or a new hobby or a project or a company or even a relationship? Show of hands.
Yep.
It really should be everyone in here. Like, we've all started something new at some point, right? Okay, so when you start something new, most of the time it starts out exciting and fun, right?
Yep.
Like, there's some excitement in it. Some things, everyone started something new that was exciting in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So then, at some point, even something you're really excited about, it gets harder and less fun until it hits a low point, when it gets really hard and it's not much fun at all. The job becomes monotonous, the hobby becomes taxing, that project gets boring, the company hits a rough spot, you start noticing all the things that annoy you about the person you're in a new relationship with. Like, they look really awesome and it's really great at first, and then you're like, wow, didn't realize how loud he chews.
talk about our kids.
The kids, but for real though, like, things start out really good, but then at some point it gets hard. So some of y'all may not know this about me, but I went to college for my degree. My first degree is in business management and finance. So I was in business school at the University of Arkansas. Don't hold that against me. I watched the Rebels beat State last night. I stayed up, y'all. I pressed through. Okay, that was great. Okay. What? No, it's okay. We're in Ole Miss land. Hottie toddy, right? But anyway, I went to business school. And in 2007, which was when I was in business school, that dates me, this guy named Seth Godin, who was a marketing guru, wrote this book called The Dip. And what I just talked about is exactly what it's about. When things in life hit a low point, after the initial excitement, he calls it a dip. And no matter who you are, you have faced and will face dips in life. What you do in the dip and that downward turn will ultimately determine the future of that endeavor. So if you look, you see, like, that's the dip, right? So it starts out good and then things start getting bad. And a lot of people just give up. But it's what you do in that dip that will ultimately determine the future of that endeavor. That business or job, your marriage, your family, your spiritual life. The reality of life is, if you're not in a dip or just coming out of a dip, then there's probably a dip just ahead. Sorry. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news there, but we all hit dips in life in different areas. Possible dips are broken relationships or broken marriages, kids running from God, or making unwise choices. You're single and waiting and waiting and waiting. You're going through a dip of temptation in your life. Financial dip, debt, bankruptcy, unsure of the next move, no open doors, or not the door you were hoping for. Depression or unhappiness with life, anxiety. You start something new and it's not what you thought it'd be. But you see, Romans 8:8. 28. I missed the two in my notes.
That's all right.
Romans 8:28. We all know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Right.
So even your dips, God can work them together for good.
Come on.
Now there's three types of dips. Okay, you ready? The first one is a dip of disobedience. Because you see, when you disobey, you have to live with the consequences of your actions. And there's only one response here when you hit a dip of disobedience. You want to know what that is? Repent, repent, repent.
Come on. Come on.
So David, the same David that defeated Goliath, right? A man of God after God's own heart. He went through numerous dips because of Bathsheba.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, I'm going to...
Sorry.
I hit the button. I'm going to hold this different. And Lacey's phone's going off. Are we good?
We love you. It's a dip.
It's a dip.
Right, it's a dip in the sermon.
She'll come back from it. Don't worry. She'll persevere. Sorry. Anyway, all right. So David and Bathsheba is one of the most dramatic accounts of the Old Testament. So one night in Jerusalem, King David was walking on his rooftop when he saw this beautiful woman bathing nearby. David asked his servants about her and was told she was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men. Despite her marital status, David summoned Bathsheba to the palace and they slept together. Scandalous. Bathsheba later discovered that she was pregnant. And she informed David. And guess what? David attempted to hide his sin. You know what he did? He called her husband back from his duties at war and sent him home, hoping that he would sleep with his wife and provide cover for the pregnancy. Cover up. But instead of obeying David's orders, Uriah slept in the quarters of the palace servants, refusing to enjoy time with Bathsheba while his men were on the battlefield, still in harm's way. Very honorable man, right? Uriah did the same thing the next night as well, showing integrity in sharp contrast to David's lack of. It became apparent that David and Bathsheba's adultery could not be covered up that way. So David needed a second, more sinister plan. And so he commanded his military leader, Joab, to place Uriah on the front lines of the battle and purposefully fall back from him, leaving him exposed to enemy attack. So Joab followed the directive and Uriah was killed in battle. So after her time of mourning, Bathsheba married David and gave birth to a son. But 2 Samuel 11:27 says, the thing David had done displeased the Lord. When David and Bathsheba's child was born, the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to confront David. Nathan used this parable, and the parable showed that David was the one guilty of this sin, and judgment would be upon his house in the form of ongoing violence. David repented. Remember, that's the only response. In Psalm 51, we read about David's repentance. Nathan said, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. The child did die a week later. David's household experienced further hardships in later years. And in total, four of David's sons suffered ultimate untimely deaths. The four times over judgment David had pronounced upon himself. So in the account of David and Bathsheba, we find many lessons. The first is that secret sin will be found out.
Yeah, it will.
Come on.
Second is God will forgive anyone who repents.
That's so good. Yeah.
Third is sin's consequences remain even when sin is forgiven. We have to live with the consequences of our sin. Fourth is God can work even in difficult situations. You see, in fact, David and Bathsheba's next son, Solomon, became the heir to the throne. Even in bad situations, God has a plan that serves his sovereign purpose. And remember, we all know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, we have three types of dips. The first one is a dip of disobedience. You have to live with the consequences of your actions. But the only response is to repent. And then the second dip is a dip of stupidity. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't be an idiot."
Don't be an idiot.
Now watch out who you turn to, because they might smack you for saying that, okay? But for real, like, there are so many things that happen in our life because we are stupid. I have to watch myself with my kids. We are not stupid. We make stupid choices.
There it is. Okay? That one.
We make stupid choices. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death."
Yep.
We can make stupid choices. Okay? Why am I in debt? Well, if you only have $2 and you spend $3, don't blame God for the dip.
Yeah.
Use wisdom. If you're married, don't be alone in a compromising situation with another man or woman.
That's it.
You could have nothing happen. You do nothing wrong, but put yourself in a place where something can be said of you. And then anyone can say anything, and it's your word versus theirs. If you allow unhealthy people to surround your life, don't be shocked when you get caught up in their mess.
Yep.
It matters who you allow in your inner circle. Those are the people that speak life into you the most.
Yeah. That's real good.
Okay, so think about the story that I just told you about David and Bathsheba. David shouldn't have even been there. He should have been off at war.
Yep.
Because at the beginning of the story, it says, in the springtime when kings go off to war, David remained at home.
Yep.
You see, his initial dip was that he was made a stupid choice.
Yeah.
He didn't do what he was supposed to do, which then snowballed into blatant disobedience to God and his word. So, it was the chain of stupidity, stupid decision after stupid decision, that ultimately led to his disobedience. Now look, your stupidity may not lead you to commit murder, but stupid choices lead you in the wrong direction. Remember? But we still know from Romans that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. So even when we are disobedient, even when we make stupid decisions, God, if we repent, even though there's still consequences, God can still use things to work together for good. So three types of dips: disobedience, stupidity, and then we get to the divine dip. Dips in life. Okay? Right in the middle of God's will, you're walking in obedience and you find yourself in a dip. This is a critical point. Critical point. There we go. Words have been hard all day today, y'all. It's fine. Okay. This is a critical point. This is where you leave your legacy. It's in the dip that you find out your level of faith. Will you make the dip an overnight stay? Or will you set up permanent camp? You see, dips are meant to be a hotel, not a home. What you do in the dip determines whether or not you make the upward movement or you cycle in the same spot. The dips are the struggle. It's the fight. You've got to be prepared for the struggle, even expect the struggle. The Bible says that we will face trials of many kinds. It's not a good story if there's no adversity or conflict, Who likes reading a story that everything is just happy and there's never any plot twist or conflict and everything just ends up good and that's it? And even in fairy tales, there's plot twists and struggle and conflict, right? So life is full of them, things we don't always understand. But in the book, Seth says you have to lean into the dip in order to move upward. We never move into the next phase because we don't learn to navigate the dips. What was designed to grow us and build character ends up being a prolonged detour. In 1 Kings 18, it describes one of the most amazing and creative scenes in the entire Bible. Elijah summons all the prophets of Baal and Asherah and challenges them to a duel. God shows up in a fire, and Elijah has all the false prophets slaughtered.
Come on.
Elijah then goes up to the mountainside, and he prays, and God brings rain on the land that had been dry for years. Elijah's in a spiritual high, y'all. All right, so we're going to read in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 5. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." You see, Elijah should have been beaming with confidence, talking some smack. He just witnessed something miraculous. But he's threatened by Queen Jezebel and runs like a little child. And then 1 Kings 19, 9 through 10, "But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah replied, 'I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.'" You see, some of our greatest dips come after our greatest victory. Elijah was tired, and he didn't have the faith for the next dip. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
You face a new dip, and you don't feel like you have strength for this one. Maybe you've been in the same dip for 10 years. You're living off a victory from 10 years ago. Let me tell you about the days when God did blank, but your spiritual life has been hard. You see, your spiritual life, though, should be a life of adventure, of faith, and trust. You have to trust that the God who saw you through will continue to see you through. So what do you do in the dips? Whether it's from disobedience, stupidity, or it's a divine dip, it's a life dip. Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to grow. You see, especially divine dips, they're not meant to destroy you, they're meant to grow you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But even our dips from disobedience and stupidity can grow us. It's how you lean into the Lord in those seasons. And you allow people that are going to lift you up and point you to Jesus to speak into your life. The second thing you do in a dip is you have to persevere. You have to have tenacity. How many times do the New Testament writers tell the church, "Hold on, persevere, don't grow weary. Don't let go. Stay strong in your faith." Never underestimate the power of perseverance. It's persevering through adversity that strengthens you. The third thing is you have to stay close to God. See, in the dips, there's two paths that you can take. The first one is a path of blame, bitterness, and cynicism. Or the second one is to play is a place for God to do deep work. If you don't allow God to do work in you, in all seasons of life, you're going to find yourself in more self-done dips. Okay, so what do you do in the dips? You grow, you persevere, you stay close to God. And then four is you lean on others. You have to surround yourself with like-minded people who are going to point you to Jesus. If you surround yourself with messy people, you're going to stay in mess. You have to surround yourself with people who are going to lift you up, going to join you in prayer, and going to point you to Jesus. And then the fifth thing you do is you have to trust. You have to have radical faith that God is who he says he is. That God will see you through.
Yes, he will.
That he is faithful. That he's a promise keeper. You have to trust God. And with all those things, at some point, you also have to put the shovel down. Lace up your kicks. Because a lot of times when we're in a dip, we keep digging ourselves lower and lower by not doing these things. You have to put the shovel down. You have to lace up. Ryan said lace up. He said you should say lace up your boots. I was like, I don't lace up boots. So it's lace up your kicks, okay? Lace up your kicks and start climbing. But you know what? That climb, usually the first step is the hardest because it's usually a step of faith.
Yeah. Come on.
Some amazing examples of stepping out in faith from the word is Noah. Y'all, Noah was called to build an ark. People thought he was crazy. But guess what? He had to take that first step before people even called him crazy, and that was to cut down the first tree. That first step of faith for Noah, knowing, man, people are going to think I'm stupid. But he took that first step of faith and he cut down that tree and he persevered through. Abraham, called to a new land. Y'all know his first step was he had to pack up his stuff and start walking. Joseph promised he would one day be the leader of his people. Joseph had to choose to do what was right, even when wrongly accused and thrown in jail. He had to take steps of faith to end up where he knew God was calling him to. Moses led the Israelites to the promised land. But you know, Moses had to step into the Red Sea and believe it would part or they would die. Do you think when he held up his staff, do you think there was any doubt, maybe a little bit, that could have crept in? I probably would have had some doubt, like, okay, God, is this going to happen? But he had to take that step of faith, knowing that God was going to keep his promises. Joshua, called to defeat the enemies of Israel. Y'all know how crazy people thought he was when he started walking around the walls of Jericho? But guess what? He had to take that first step. And then continue step after step. You see, getting out of your dips in life require that first step of faith in trusting God. You see, dips can give an incredible opportunity to display unstoppable faith. It's not the circumstances. It's what you do when you're on the way down that will determine your outcome. You can spend all of 2024 camped out in an area where God intended you to be overnight, or you can step up, get up, and persevere, believing and have faith that God wants to bring you through.
Yeah. So good.
I'm going to have the band go ahead and come back up. You see, everyone goes through dips in life. If you're in one, you're not alone. If you've been through one, you've seen the other side. It's our job to come around those who are in them and be that support system for them, pointing them to Jesus and reminding them that he's good. See, Elijah, he had a pity party.
Yeah.
God, you don't understand. The Israelites have forgotten you. They've torn down your altars, and I'm the only one left. You can just hear that whiny tone in his voice. Jezebel wants to kill me. I didn't sign up for this. God, you forgot me. And God's response to Elijah we find in 19:11. God reveals his presence to Elijah, and he speaks to him in a gentle whisper. He can't. There were some big things that happened before that. Go read that story. But he spoke to him in a gentle whisper.
Yeah, he did.
That's grace. God is gracious to us even when we lack the faith to believe. He said, go back and anoint these two men king and let them kill any prophets that remain. Oh, and you're not alone. There's 7,000 Israelites that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Oh, and one more thing, anoint Elisha the Tishbite to be your right-hand man and successor as prophet. You see, in the middle of your dip, your doubts, your confusion, your frustration, God is present and active. You see, when you look at your dip and you're at the bottom of it, all it represents is incredible potential for God to move. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, starting a church from nothing sounds exciting, but it is tough. We've had some pretty major personal dips in our life. Not really ones that we caused ourselves, but some life dips and some caused by other stupidity. I remember around the time that Ryan's mom passed away, August of 22, the church wasn't even a year old. It caught us really off guard, not gonna lie. And let's just say the financials of the church didn't look great at that point. We were in a really tough season with my family too. I was worried for my mom's safety all the time because my dad was an alcoholic and was physically abusing her. We had a lot of life stuff hitting us all at once. A whole lot. But you see, while we still don't understand why we lose people, but it doesn't seem like it doesn't feel like it's their time to go. That one might make sense when we're in heaven someday, but this side of heaven, I'm not sure it ever will. But when we were in that season of hard stuff and the church finances got hard, our personal finances got hard because our personal finances are very much tied to the church finances. Because guess what? When the bills can't get paid, they get paid by us. Okay? So it was a tough season. And we were talking through, like, I don't know, maybe we both need to go get, like, full-time jobs, but then we couldn't do a lot of the things that we do for the church, and we were just praying, and God said, just trust me. Just wait. Just trust me. And guess what? He provided. We got a check in the mail we weren't expecting from some of our people in Oklahoma City who are very spirit-led, and they felt like God told them to send money, and they sent money. And it got us through. And God protected my mom. And God's turning things around for his good. And so I don't tell you all that to make you feel sorry for us or to pity us or anything like that. I tell you all that to say we all go through dips in life. And when you're in the midst of them, when you're at the bottom and you're like, I don't know that I can keep doing this. We even talked about how at one point we looked at each other like, maybe we should just give up, and maybe we should just move back to Northwest Arkansas and just get like normal jobs and just be like regular people. But that's not what God called us to do. And so it might have been okay for a little bit, but then we would have been miserable because we wouldn't have been walking in the call that God gave us. So that would have been us giving up in our dip. But you see, perseverance in your faith, in knowing that God is good and that he will provide. You know that you can make it out of those dips. And then when you face future dips, you remember when God got you out of the previous one, and you remember the testimony of what God did. And y'all, there's so many things I could tell you of what God's done bringing us out of the dip. God is present and active in the middle of your doubts and your confusion and your frustration. The bottom of your dip represents incredible potential for God to move. So, if you're in the middle of a dip, I want to encourage you. Continue to grow yourself.
Yeah.
Even on the hard days, dig into the word. Whether it's just reading the same passage of scripture over and over again till it just permeates your soul. Or crying out when all you can get out is Jesus. Or telling him your frustrations because he already knows your innermost thoughts.
Yeah.
But you have to grow yourself, and you have to persevere. You have to hold on. Don't grow weary. Don't let go. Stay strong in your faith.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is to stay close to God. You can't allow blame, bitterness, and cynicism to creep into your life. You have to place God first and allow him the place to do the deep work. And y'all, you have to surround yourself with good people who are not going to continue to speak that bitterness into your life. You have to surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you, that are going to say, don't give up, trust God. You can't do anything but trust God. There's no way you can control the situation. Cana, trust God. There's no way that you can do it without God. And you have to have radical faith and trust. And if the people in your life aren't telling you that, you need some new people in your life.
Yeah.
So today, if you're in a dip season, whatever that looks like, y'all, it can be that you thought that you knew what you were going to be doing career-wise, and the doors haven't opened, or the door you thought was going to open didn't, or the door that did open wasn't really what you were hoping for, or financially you're struggling, or your marriage is on the rocks and you don't know what to do, or you're scared for the future. Whatever's going on in your life that is stealing and robbing your peace and joy and your sleep and your mind, just like Pastor Larry said in the beginning, like, stop looking down at those things and look up to the only one who can get you out of it. The only one that can reset your mind to higher things. The only one that can bring you joy unspeakable. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. All things. Not some things. All things. Everything that I have faced in my life, every dip that I've been in, whether it was self-inflicted or not, God has used those things as part of my testimony of his goodness and his grace and his mercy. So no matter what, know that God can work whatever you've done, whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through, for his good and glory. So God, I thank you so much that you are good, that you are worthy of our praise. I thank you that even at our lowest points, that you are with us and you are for us. Even when we make stupid choices, God, you redeem those things for your good and your glory. God, help us to lean on you, to trust you, to surround ourselves with the people that you have put in our lives on purpose, for purpose. God, we thank you for the steps of faith taken this morning. And God, I pray for perseverance as we continue to take steps of faith. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all, I don't know about you, but I needed this today. I needed the anointed time of worship. And this word, y'all, this wasn't the word I set out in the beginning of the week to preach. But I needed it. Persevere. Grow. Stay close to God. Lean on others that are going to point you to Jesus. And trust. Have radical faith that God is good. And y'all, at the end of every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who he is. So Jesus says, I am the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
he is the branch.